Any other questions? Councilwoman Travis?
Yes. First of all, I want to say that I want to co-sponsor this legislation. This has been brought up a couple of times. And yes, sometimes it got knocked down. But the fact of the matter is, when you do it, it doesn't matter. That's the problem. You want to, I don't believe we should be doing it at every meeting, changing the rules. But when there's something comes up that's so important, if you think that it's important, I mean, and I do, because I think we follow Robert's rules. I have seen a lot of things happen on this council. And one of them, for an example, is somebody made a vote yes when they started the vote. It went all the way around. I'm last vote. I voted no. That person changed the vote. There it was. Nobody said nothing. It was done. And everybody was all upset. One councilman got so mad, he closed his book, walked out of here. I had another council person jump up screaming, why'd you change your vote? You said yes, now you say no. But you know why? Because I could see the person counting on his fingers, and he realized, uh-oh, I got to change my vote. So what difference does it make? If somebody wants to change the vote, I think they have the right to change the vote. And I don't think you should have to worry about the winning side, the losing side. It doesn't matter. At least they do it the right way instead of doing it sneaky. But yes, I think we should follow the Robert's rules. If it says that it can be second and somebody has the right to change the vote, then they should be able to change the vote. But I've seen I could write a book about how people voted. And I think this rule should have been changed a long time ago. And people tried to change it. And then some people got scared and didn't want to do it. And every time they tried to change it, I was on the side to say, let's try to change it. But so I'm going to do it again. Stay on this side. Thank you.
Councilman Lattison.
If no one else wants to speak on this, I just want to follow up a bit. So we spent an hour just a little while ago talking about changing the comprehensive plan. We talked about it for an hour. I didn't hear any objections about, well, we shouldn't change the plan because the plan is already there. It's already set. We should change it maybe once a year. When the shoe no longer fits, you need to change the shoe. To make a decision that, well, you know, let's deal with it next year. I don't think that's a good decision. Let's deal with it next year. Just look at the basis of this. This is a stacked deck. Rule 27 creates a stacked deck. Whichever side you're on, the winning side controls the reconsideration. I think Councilwoman Travis made a very good point. Not only do we have a right to change our mind and change our vote, we have an obligation to do so. And that obligation requires courage. It requires courage to stand up, whether it's at the next meeting or at the very meeting, and say, hey, listen, you know what? Based upon everything that has just been said, I took a few extra seconds to reconsider this in my mind, and I made a mistake. I want to have an opportunity to right that mistake. Rule 27 essentially locks the door on having the right and the responsibility to change your mind on a vote. And sure, in the years that I've been on the council, it has not happened often. And I don't see it happening often as we go forward. I don't see this mass rush of changing council rules for something that isn't so significant as maintaining control over a vote. Now, With that said, there very well could be a time going forward when, I'll use myself, I'm on the winning side of the vote. And someone is on the opposite side disagreeing with me and says, you know what, I want to reconsider. So there could be a time and a day when, by amending this Rule 27, that will go against what's happening now, and I'll lose. And that's fine. But I think the right of each and every one of us to be able to reconsider your vote, to rekindle a discussion and re-vote, I think that's paramount. That's paramount to us as an elected body. To say we're going to wait until next year and change the council rules, then, you know, maybe we should have said that earlier and say, you know what, let's wait until we change the council plan. I'm sorry, the comprehensive plan. Comprehensive plan is what it is. It's a plan. It's a guide. Council rules are a guide. There's something to guide us. But I feel very strongly that when I come to the conclusion that there's a problem with fairness and equity in a clause, particularly one or two words in one of the council rules, that we need to address it today, not address it next year. Because if the problem comes up again, what do you say? Well, it's okay. It's only come up once before, and we'll fix it next year. I respectfully, and I mean that, I respectfully disagree with that. And I think that it is very important to change this rule and change it now and bring a fairness and equity issue so that each and every one of us have an opportunity to have our reconsideration heard by this body, to hear why we happen to reconsider our vote, especially when it's at that very meeting. And having said that, I would respectfully request favorable action from this committee. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So the change would bring this in line with Robert's rules, which is certainly my preference, because Robert's rules is like a very thorough, rather comprehensive approach to the rule system, as opposed to the council rules, which by its own both intent and content is meant to kind of be piecemeal and then just to rely on Robert's rules for the leftover. I happen to agree with pretty much everybody here, oddly enough, where because I myself tried to do rule changes in the past and was told, you know, wait till we can do them all at once. So we did. It worked out. And I can see why doing one-offs would be problematic, because unfortunately, we'd like to think that people wouldn't throw tantrums and then act accordingly based on that tantrum, but they will. Even adults make mistakes, although some do it on purpose. So inevitably, we'd run into that. And if it wasn't this council, it'd be the next one. So I'm not the largest fan of one-off changes and opening up the door to it. At the same time, I'm not sure this is entirely the same as the other changes, because the other changes were more about improving efficiencies, kind of streamlining the council, and this is more about preventing a potential, I don't want to say inequity, because it's, I'm not sure that's, I think that gives it too much credit, but preventing something that might not have otherwise happened would probably be the most straightforward description of it. So I'm fine with voting in favor at a minimum just to get it to the floor, and I'm fine with it being passed. I'm also fine with waiting until the rule changes come around again at the start of the new year. I'm really, either way, it's going to get resolved. So whatever the will of the council is, and I happen to benefit from voting amongst the last people, so tally ho.
Any other questions from the council? Any questions from the public? Do I hear a motion?
I'll move in favor or favorable recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Nay?
Just had to be different.
It's now 9:24, and the Intergovernmental Committee is now adjourned.
Last up this evening is to conclude the remainder of the business of the Public Properties Land Use Committee and Community Affairs.
The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs reconvenes at 9:25 p.m. Last item on the agenda, PCR 60-22, a resolution authorizing the mayor to execute navigation easement agreements with the Rhode Island Airport Corporation on Assessor's Plat 341, Lots 1 and 149, in exchange for just compensation. Councilman Howe, on behalf of the mayor.
I'm so sorry. I completely missed the ball. I forgot I had something on this docket. Please give me a moment. Please repeat that, Councilman. Please.
No problem. PCR 60-22, a resolution authorizing the mayor to execute navigation easement agreements with the Rhode Island Airport Corporation on Assessor's Plat 341, Lots 1 and 4, excuse me, Lots 1 and 149 in exchange for just compensation.
Thank you so much, and I do apologize for the delay. I'm going to request favorable action on this. The mayor and the administration was in constant communication with myself. This is right off of on the slope path of the airport. This is the one where back in March of 2017, where they did their first, they hit all the residential houses. They accidentally cut on city property. The administration then went ahead and got restitution. The airport has been communicating with the planning department and, again, the administration involved, where they're just going to eliminate and also trim trees on that slope path for the runway of Cedar Swamp 34. And they will, I request favorable action that both parties did it.
I understand that the planning director had to step away. I'm not certain if there is anyone from the administration who may be able to speak on this and present whether this is going to cost the city any money.
Mike.
Thanks. So I'll be brief. I think you have a letter signed by Mayor Picosi to the Airport Corporation dated April 8th. So this provides for the city to be compensated in the sum of $68,800 for the removal of those trees and that flight path, as Councilman Howe just indicated. Obviously, the mayor supports this, and if you have any other further questions, I'll be happy to answer those.
So to be clear, the city is receiving money, and that was the amount negotiated by the planning department and the administration with the Rhode Island Airport Corporation?
That's correct.
Thank you. Any comments from members of the committee? Members of the council? Members of the public?
Mr. Chairman, I do have a question.
Member of the public. We'll first go to Councilman Lattiser.
I'm all set, Mr. Chairman. I just did some quick math, and now I understand how the $68,800 came about. Thank you.
Michelle?
Good evening again, Michelle Comar. I had a few questions. I don't really have an opinion about this because there isn't enough information in that I have accessible. Maybe it's in your packets. But is there an appraisal? Ryack mentions there was an appraisal done to get these values. Do you have access to an appraisal or just the final numbers of the values? Or I guess if our tax assessor gave an appraisal.
Mr. Chairman? Chairman and Councilman Howe, Ward 3, thank you. Through the chairman, if that's okay. This is to the totals that come is the amount is $68,800 for abrogation of easements, $52,500 for plot 341, lot 1, and $16,300 for plat 341, lot 149. There's no change of real estate between the city. This is purely for them to cut permission to cut down city trees to meet FAA regulations. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is this public comment time? Because I had questions that I needed answered. And that wasn't a question that I asked, I think. What I'm asking for is the appraisal to get those numbers. So for instance, where is the before value and the after value? How are they calculated? Do you have it in your packets where an appraisal was done by an appraiser or the tax assessor? How are those numbers derived? RIEC says it has an appraisal, but there's not one attached.
Mr. Chairman, once again, this was, I understand, but this was negotiated between the administration for pure reason to cut down trees. So the airport, per FAA regulation, is going in to trim the trees for that slope path, and the city basically, whether they used a formula, negotiated and giving us the permission to receive this money or vote to get this money to cut down the trees. And every time that they want to go onto city property and cut down trees that belong to the city to meet the FAA guidelines, they have to go to the administration.
Well, I still haven't seen an appraisal of how these numbers were derived. If you have it in your packet, I'd appreciate you sharing, or if the tax assessor gave the appraisal, that'd be great.
So, Mr. Chairman, I think I should just make it clear. This was negotiated. I don't have an appraisal in my packet. I don't think that this was done on a per tree, per square foot item of, I'm not going to speak for the administration, but to be very honest, I'm not seeing the correlation between the value of the property to the trees. It was RIAC wants to go in and cut trees that at a certain height of a certain length of certain trees, and so that their flight path and their glide slope meets FAA regulations. So the city is making money, allowing RIAC, for the first time in a long time, allowing RIAC to come in and trim trees to meet the FAA requirements.
Oh,
so there's no tax assessor in the pamphlet. Thank you.
Thank you. And well, RIAC mentions there's an assessor. That assessment was done. And I just didn't see it attached in any documents. But I'll proceed. I'm not satisfied that you have the backup information on those numbers. I'm not exactly familiar where these properties are. Can somebody describe to me what's on the properties today, besides trees that need to be cut down?
Mr. Chairman? Trees that need to be cut down. Thank you.
So this does not include any of the property Mickey Stevens that I see ball fields on the plants. I just want to know, is that Mickey Stevens area? That's the larger parcel.
It is a large parcel, and the it's all city property. So if it's on Mickey Stevens, but it's the plot and the trees actually individually have been identified. The plot and the lot have all been identified, and the city, through the administration, has agreed to allow the FAA to trim those trees. They're not personal property. Back in 2017, RIAC agreed to pay the homeowners on Cedar Swamp and surrounding areas a fair market value to get their trees down, and they since came to the city and did the same.
I don't know if it's just tree trimming or tree removal. And on the other side, this is city property for recreation purposes. Does this prohibit the city from doing landscaping and with along with the ball fields or park or reusing this property or developing it in the future? I don't think you can plant trees if they're taking down trees. So I see this as another step of restricting recreation development and in terms of landscaping.
So two parts. Mr. Chairman, may I answer? Thank you. So two parts. The first question you asked was, I can answer the first question with the second question. They can plant trees. I don't think it restricts anything but once the trees get to a certain height and they violate the FAA guidelines for the slope path, they got to be trimmed and knocked down. Oh, that was your first question. The first question, will they be, it's a combination. They will be trimmed and cut down.
Right. Thank you. Do we know what height? I know it depends on where they're located, but I'm just looking towards the future. There were glorious plans developed by administrations and even thoughts with one planning staff person about redeveloping that area. Does this squash some of our plans if we can't landscape with trees? There's trees out there now in the ball fields. So I'm concerned about future city use of the property. And also, it abuts residential property off of Cedar Swamp Road. I don't know if we're cutting some buffers that DPW did in the past of vegetation, if those got to go. What has happened in the past historically with RIAC, early in the program of cutting trees? They cut trees on the wrong property. Yep, that was a oops. They cut down a vegetative buffer, even though it wasn't on that person's property. They enjoyed that buffer between them and the airport. Mm-hmm. And are we now losing buffer from DPW or anything abutting the residential properties that buffer them from the city property, whatever use there is on city property?
That's actually, Mr. Chairman, thank you. That's actually a very logical, very fair question. I can say with all confidence, and I'll put it out there, that one of the concerns I had speaking to the administration was buffer. They know how I feel about Winslow Field. They know how I feel how that affects that community there. They're very aware how I feel about Strawberry Field West. RIAC and the administration, I have to say, the administration sat down with me before they sat down with RIAC. And that was one of the big concerns. So to answer the second part of your question, the vegetation will still be allowed. There may be some trees that are probably deemed dead, if you will. I'll just use that term. That may be completely cut. But for the most part, all vegetation will just be trimmed down to a level. But the vegetation will stay there. And give you an idea, if you go down Cedar Swamp, if you go all the way to the end of the Cedar Swamp, not necessarily across from where the pump station is, but you go a few houses up, there's a lot of vegetated area behind there that abuts where Mickey Stevens as well as the skate park is. That is the forested area they're looking at trimming. There are a lot of large trees there, and that is the slope plan that they're looking at trimming.
Okay, I don't live here, but as long as the people that abut the land that's going to be have trees trimmed or removed, has anybody reached out to them if they're okay with this?
Yeah, I live there. So I reached out to myself and my neighbors, and I'm very aware of what the challenges are, and I literally abut the field, and we understand that we bought houses next to an airport. We're also very aware that there were mistakes made in the past, and we're also very aware that also the administration listened to us and did the actions that we requested.
Okay, so my question is a little housekeeping question. The agreement that RIAC drafted is labeled sample, and it's not attached to the resolution. And the resolution is absent of two exhibits it mentions in the resolution. The exhibits aren't there. So to me, just by itself, the way it's presented, it's that it's a resolution doesn't have all the backup to understand it or document what the approval or disapproval is based on.
Mr. Chairman, just to address that fine point, the resolution does reference two exhibits, and both exhibits have been posted on the website along with all the other items on the agenda. So they're available for public inspection.
Right, but they're not part of the paper trail that is going to go with this resolution as signed by the council. I'm accustomed to seeing exhibits with the resolutions so that the council has the basis for what they made the decision on, and it's recorded like that. But it's absent of that, and it's absent of the actual agreement, which is labeled sample in another document. I just don't see a cohesive document of a resolution with the agreement with RIAC that needs to be signed by all these people yet. It, right now, it's still labeled sample. And exhibits, I think it's A and B or one or two.
A and B. Mr. Chairman, just to address the point, the resolution before the members of the committee is to authorize the execution of the agreements. The item itself is presented in two exhibits that are consistent and available for public inspection or incorporated by reference. But furthermore, the be it resolved clause makes clear that the final execution of the document is going to be done in the form and substance as approved by the city solicitor and consistent with the terms presented in those two documents. So the authorization that is being sought here this evening is to ensure that the city's solicitor makes sure that the formal execution of everything is consistent with the information as presented in the items that we've discussed.
Well, I'm very familiar with the quick claim deeds, and you have an exhibit A describing the parcel, and this is absent from the council's agreement. And I think it should be there, but I'll leave that up to the council. I just want to make note, I'm not happy with it because history gets lost. Get it recorded. You know what you agreed upon. The property is defined, so you're not encroaching on someone else's property if they cut trees. RIAC's had problems in the past staying on the correct property. So I think it's important to attach exhibit A and B to the resolution. And my last concern is, like I said, does this restrict future development of public recreation area that we can't landscape with trees? That's my other concern. I'll say that RIAC reaching out for compensation is at least in the right direction. They have taken airspace rights from people that had sound insulation done on their homes. And they were asked by the General Assembly to, because those were recorded by RIAC, to make another second recording so that those would be lifted. Because having sound insulation has nothing to do with what's going on overhead. So I'm a little leery about agreements with RIAC because I've seen what's happened in the past. But I feel more comfortable if there was an appraisal or a tax assessor reviewed this for the numbers, because I think it limits our development in the future for recreational uses on Mickey Stevens' property. Thank you.
I'll just say briefly that I have no concerns that the documents presented, for example, have watermarks or the like, because that doesn't mean that the documents that are actually going to be executed must have the very same watermarks. Documents that would be executed in the event that this avigation easement agreement is approved. If this council gives authority for an avigation easement agreement to be approved, that is, those documents would be drafted consistent with the authorization provided as stated by the city council solicitor. The proper documents would and should be referenced in that same document, become part of the paper trail. Any formatting issues, and I'm not saying that there are any formatting issues, but there's nothing here that would prevent any formatting issues from being addressed and dealt with. There could be printouts in various sizes. We have electronic means to zoom in. We have means to identify the specific areas. I don't see that as a major concern. I also, without getting into the specific lands in question, I think that Councilman Howe addressed that very adequately as to the location as they are identified on the maps in question. I don't see the need for overanalyzing the precise value as to this as negotiated between the city and the Rhode Island Airport Corporation as to the approximately $68,000 in terms of accounting for necessarily the recreational value in the particular height of the trees. This is not going to be a conveyance of the land itself, but rather affecting the height of the trees grown on that particular location, which I'm not sure if the particular height of the trees has a particularly large bearing on the value of land for recreational purposes that's in the shadow of a runway. I'm not saying that the value that the land does not have recreational value. I would say that the land's value is primarily as a buffer. The land certainly has other value beyond that. The land would have different value if the airport weren't there. But we are talking about land that is in the shadow of a runway that, pursuant to the FAA requirements, the airport is forced to cut trees to a certain height. I don't think that the airport wants to spend money cutting trees to a certain height. I doubt that the airport wants to give money to the city of Warwick for the pleasure of spending money to cut the trees to a certain height. Unless there are further questions from members of the council. Yes, Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to comment on two items here. Speaking to some of the comments. So it says in Exhibit B, the easement and right-of-way shall be defined to include the following, and it goes on to list, talk about airspace, et cetera, threshold sitting begins 200 feet, et cetera. The last paragraph says the portion of the grantor's property to be conveyed to the grantee is considered to be wholly encompassed within the boundaries of the threshold sitting surface. Height restrictions range from 60 to 100 feet in the threshold sitting surface. So are we to understand this as saying that they have the control of the height of those trees within the 60 to 100 foot height, as opposed to the concern of them just coming in and starting cut down trees and sell the firewood?
That is my understanding.
That's how I interpret it. It's a height. It's a restriction. It's an easement. First of all, the Airport Corporation doesn't own the land. We still own the land. We're just giving them an easement to, you know, go ahead and, you know, trim some of the trees down. And from what I understand, unless there's someone here from the administration or legal that can tell me something different, this appears to me that what I'm going to be voting on is allowing the Airport Corporation to trim said trees in this particular location to maintain a height between 60 and 100 feet. That doesn't mean cut these rascals down and sell firewood because you're not selling enough airplane tickets.
Do I interpret this correctly? Does anyone interpret it differently?
I interpret it the same exact way.
I'm going to be basing my vote when it comes to the floor on that fact right there. Thank you.
I would defer to the city council solicitor if there were any opinion otherwise.
Yes, I would just note that there are two different reference points, one for each of the two different lots. And so the item that Councilman Lattiser was addressing is the proposed language for the exhibit to that on lot 001 that talks about a 60 to 100 foot threshold. The other item talks about a height restriction in from 75 to 90 feet. So it's a function of how far, how close you are to the particular runway and what the FAA height requirements are, but you're talking between 60 and 100 feet on both parcels.
The bottom line is they're not cutting down a tree. I got a whole bunch of trees in my ward they can come trim too if they want.
Any other discussion, members of the council? Hearing none, do we have a motion? Oh, we already had public comment. Any further public comment? Okay. Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Action. Second.
All in favor? Aye. The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs closes at 9:51 p.m.
Good evening, everyone. We are going to go back into the full council meeting at this time. Just to recap, we have done roll call, the salute to the flag. We've done general communications, executive communications. We've done the acceptance of the minutes. We've done public comments. We are now on number one, the consent calendar. PCR 62-22, committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2022-272, sale of former John Wicks School Building and property plat 347, lot 476. Bid 2022-389, Bucky Brook Restoration Project. Bid 2022-416, Elite Rescue Software Maintenance. Bid 2022-034, Emergency Services Software. Bid 2022-213, Replacement of Time Clock System. Bid 2023-022, Janitorial and Cleaning Supplies for Fire Department. Bid 2021-240, Bravo, City of Warwick, Gasoline, Low Sulfur Diesel, Ultra Low Sulfur Diesel Fuel. Bid 2023-021, Delivery, Rental, and Filling of Oxygen Tanks. Bid 2023-044, Service Contract for Life Pack 15, Cardiac Motors. Bid 2022-043, HVAC Maintenance and Repair for Thayer Warbarn Arena. Bid 2021-034, HVAC Maintenance Repair for City-Owned Buildings. Bid 2022-425, Purchase of RS-45 Cylinders. Bid 2022-261, Fertilizer Liquid Weed Control in Lime. Bid 2022-335, State of Rhode Island Plumbing Services. Bid 2022-405, Waterbone Traffic Paint. Bid 2023-038, Vehicle Tracking Subscription. Bid 2022-426, Purchase and Install single CO2 Feeder. Bid 2009-280, East Greenwich Yard Waste Pilot Program. Bid 2023-045, Municipal Recycling Facility Byproducts. Bid 2018-251, Consulting Services, Buckeye Brook Permitting Remedial Action. Bid 2021-295, Engineering and Survey Support Services for Improvements to Oakland Beach Playground and Splash Pad.
Thank you, Councilman Howe. Are there any questions on the bid package that were not discussed earlier this evening?
That's one. Okay.
So that is it on the consent calendar? It's been moved and seconded, so the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, congratulations.
There was one item removed, Councilman Howe.
Yes, sir. It was formerly bid 2022-310. Purchase of paratransit van. That is now PCR 64-22. Committee, the per request of the sponsor, that was withdrawn.
Okay, will you make that motion, Councilman Howe?
Move PCR 64-22 to withdraw.
Second by Councilman Foley, Councilman Gephardt, and Councilman Lattiser. Any questions on the withdrawal? Hearing none, the clerk call a roll favorable action to withdraw.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to withdraw.
Thank you. The motion has been withdrawn. Thank you. All right, we are now moving on. We have already completed, if you're following from home, we have done number one, PCO 9-22. We had that public hearing. We also did PCO 10-22. We had that public hearing as well. So now we're moving to the unfinished business part of the agenda. First up is a PCO 8-22 committee report ordinance.
This recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCO 8-22.
Second by Councilwoman Travis. Councilman Howe. Are there any questions on PCO 8-22 that were not asked earlier this evening in the Ordinance Committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action for second passage.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Yes. Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, second passage.
Thank you. Second passage. Number four this evening is PCR 27-22. This is going to be held until August 15th. We're now on to new business. First up is a PCO 10-22 committee report ordinance. For action, Councilman Gephardt.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Howe. Are there any questions on this that were not asked during the ordinance committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy? Ms. Travis? 9 yes, first passage.
Thank you, first passage. Number two this evening is PCR 55-22, committee report, public safety. For action, Councilman Gephardt.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Howe. Are there any questions that we're not being able to ask during public safety earlier this evening? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes. Ms. Yes.
Travis? 9 yes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Number three this evening is PCR 60-22, committee report, public properties.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Gephardt. Are there any questions that were not asked earlier this evening in the Public Properties Committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes.
Thank you, the motion passes. Next up, number four this evening is PCR 61-22, committee report, intergovernmental.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 81-22.
Second by Councilwoman Travis. Are there any questions on PCR 61-22 that were not spoken about or asked during intergovernmental committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Five four, the motion passes.
Thank you.
Anyone want to reconsider their vote?
I object. I've been waiting for that one.
Wait. How long until it's official?
No.
All right.
Glad you guys can motion find passes. Humor again.
We're moving to unanimous consent. Ward 1, anything under unanimous consent? Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
I'm afraid to ask. No.
Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8. Ward 9.
Pass.
Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business for this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
Thank you. All in favor of moving to the docket session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? We are now in the docket session. I have one item to docket. It's a resolution to the General Assembly authorizing the City of Warwick to issue not to exceed $350 million general obligation bonds, notes, and other indebtedness to the finance the construction of two new high schools. Finance Committee.
I'd like to be added as a co-sponsor.
All right. Councilman Ricks would like to be added as a co-sponsor. Okay. Anybody else? Councilman yes. Snappy? Councilman McElroy. Thank you. Councilman Gephardt. Okay, Ward 1, anything to docket this evening? No. Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
One item to change Rule 27. No, I'm joking.
Oh, you guys pass. Are so funny.
Ward pass. 4. Councilman Howe, I think you're going to docket the budget.
So if there was a game tonight, I'd have struck out 4 times.
Five.
This will be number 5. Hold on, I have the item. Solicitor, could you guide me on the right language?
Yes, I've received 2 docket memos from Councilman Howe on behalf of the mayor. The first item is a resolution tentative title adopting and setting the tax rate at City of Warwick for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2022 and ending June 30, 2023.
Finance.
The other one is a resolution relative to the transfers, supplemental appropriations, and emergency appropriations.
Finance.
That's all I have, Mr. President.
Great job, Councilman Howe.
Thank you.
Ward 4, anything to docket?
Pass.
Ward 5.
Pass.
Ward 6? Ward 7 passes after I already docketed something. Ward 8. Ward 9.